you know about taking bags cross state on a half a tank of gas? The first around ain't no workaround, you gotta hit it twice just to make it last. Take a quarter, you make a quarter, put that together, that'll make a half. With a coke compressor, it's... Matter of fact, ain't telling nigga shit.
What up, though? This your boy DOC, and welcome to another episode of the Doc Hicks Podcast. We on episode 27, so I gotta say thank you. I greatly appreciate everybody for tuning in. If this your first time tuning in, all I can say is this: we mix news with hip-hop and hip-hop with news. So all you got to do is just watch this full episode and you will see what we're talking about, because it's a lot of stuff that's been going on, a lot, you know, that's been going on in hip-hop, in the real world, everything. And I got some fire ass songs that I'm gonna be playing in this podcast, so you know, tuck tight, get very comfy and chime in to what's about to go on. Tomorrow we talk about everything from R. Kelly and them trying to seal his medical records, to the top 50 list with Joe Budden being ranked number 3, Chance the Rapper, a young man down in the Carolinas that got arrested for having bird poop on the back of his car, but the police said it was cocaine. We also talk about the Illuminati, Benny the Butcher. It's too much to name right now, so let me go ahead and just jump into this next episode. Now, initially, this wasn't something that I was going to even talk about. Not from any type of way of being a hater or anything of that stuff. It was a funny moment that happened in the past couple days. A lot came from it, a lot of traction. And maybe it's just because it's me, because I come from initially trying to start off doing like battle rap reviews. I seen how close net, but almost to a default, how the battle rap world and community are very not embracing, especially during that time. I would say a lot of people in the battle rap community were not embracing of other individuals from outside of New York doing reviews or whatever the case may be. So I stopped doing it and I end up going into other avenues of just putting my perspective out there on different topics that was going on in hip hop. And then I eventually at some point in time stopped because I had real life shit going on. And basically, I started getting tons of comments of individuals like, hey, bro, like this and this happened. What you think about it? I feel your perspective, like, it's different than anything else that other people are saying, which was, I don't know. It wasn't weird. It was a good feeling, but it was like, damn. So, okay. So I started doing a little bit more. I wasn't really taking it serious, but I started seeing the necessity and understanding the power in words and how you can either affect people, you can teach people things, you can dumb down people, you can hold people up, you can hold people down. From every angle, it's power in words. So, like I said, going into this particular episode of this podcast, I wasn't really going to talk about it because it wasn't like that. To me, it wasn't that big of a deal until I seen the Joe Budden podcast. Now, let me say this. This podcast was formerly known the No Offense Podcast for what I'm about to say right now. And the reason why is because a lot of people in this industry feel the need that they can get in front of their microphones, in front of their computers, behind their phones, or whatever the case may be. They can talk shit, bash anybody, critique anybody. And then when people do it to them, they get upset. They get into a frenzy. They be behind the scenes, blocking you, stopping you come up, talking to this marketing company, talking to that company, stopping them, doing everything that they can to shade you from making it in life. If people get past their big headedness, pause, if they get past all that, they get past their fame, glory, everything that they got going on in their life, and they look at themselves in the mirror as a man, at the end of the day, most, not all, but most people are doing this because of their love for hip hop, growing up in hip hop, being a hip hop baby, or they have their own perspective, or, you know, or both. And people want to get paid for their time. A lot of people are doing it to put food on their table. Now, I don't feel like that should be, I don't want to get off topic, but I don't feel like that should be your number one intent. Because if that's your number one intent, it may pop, but it's not going to last. Your energy through your vocals and what you put out into this earth, people can feel that. But that's neither here nor there. So I watched the Joe Budden podcast. And before this podcast even came out, I was like, Joe Budden and them should give this particular podcast, the Brew Podcast, a shout out. Now, if you're not familiar, there was a top 50 list that had been going around caused a lot of frenzy because this podcast put Joe Budden as number three. And everybody and their mama that seen it thought, oh, Joe Budden must be a part of this. He must have something to do with this, you know, because who the fuck would put Joe Budden as number three on a top 50 list, like, of all time? And a lot goes into that. Like, a lot goes into that. I can't say that he shouldn't be there, he, you know, or vice versa. I can't say that. I'm not no hater. I'm not a hater. He wouldn't necessarily be in my, I wouldn't say top 50. He wouldn't necessarily be in my top five, but he is a dope lyricist. And I also respect the moves that he have made after the fact as a businessman, as a visionary, you know, putting and piecing things together as a content creator. I applaud him for everything he has done thus far. He's actually an individual that I applaud for the moves that he have made during rap, while he was with Slaughterhouse, you know, independent and in the media world. But prior to the actual podcast coming out, I was like, Joe Budden should give these guys a shout out. I'm talking about even if you just briefly just mention their name one time. And the reason why I say this is when I hear Joe Budden multiple times, over 5, 10, 15, 20 times, say he's for the creator. Now, he brought up an example about a movie called Antitrust, talking about it was loosely off of Bill Gates and the tech companies and how people sit back and watch the game. And shout out to Parks, because he made a good point that every industry do this. I've been in this long enough where I have seen this even happen to myself, not with other content creators. I'm talking about being the quote unquote underdog, not being signed to a label or distribution deal or whatever you want to call it in this particular game. And I've seen people on large radio shows come and actually say some shit that I said verbatim from the beginning to the end, even with their little side notes, side jokes, everything. I've seen them do it. They won't give you no credit. That's suppressing the content creator. So if a person in a group take their time to sit down, I'm not going to say it's the easiest thing in the world or the hardest thing in the world, but if they sit down and take their time to put together a top 50 list, for whatever their reasons is, they put you as number three and it gains some traffic. And this is a sidebar to Rory. Salute to you, homie. Double salute. That chemistry all y'all got up there is super dope. But this is a sidebar to Rory. When you say, oh, I think it's corny when every blog and everybody else put it up like, ha, ha, ha. Who put this up to try to gain some traffic off of it? Okay, let's talk about what traffic is. If that super small podcast, as you say, Joe Budden, super small, super small, super small, you said it a few different times. If they put that up on their Twitter and no other human being or no other blog or no one else put it up even doing those ha ha ha's and none of that other shit, it wouldn't have gained the traffic that it gained. That was a part of causing the traffic. You don't post something online and it just goes viral by itself because the machine picks it up and makes it go viral. Now, we do know how YouTube is. YouTube with their algorithms and everything. Now, they can pick and choose what they turn the algorithms on for different channels and different things of that nature. But Twitter and all that stuff, you can't just post something that's like a lottery pick. Maybe today this is going to be the day I post something and Twitter is just going to push it everywhere. No. The people, the blogs and everything is what make things build traffic and momentum and make things go viral, period. So ultimately, by this happening, since Joe Budden's name was number three, I'm not going to say like it benefited him in a way where it's monetarily gained, but other people responded to it. A lot of rappers got involved in it. Even Joe Budden responded to it. My thing, it benefited you in some type of way. It benefited you in some type of way to the point where you even took it upon yourself to go on your very large platform to even talk about it. It created a small moment surrounding your name in hip hop, which we know all attention is good attention. All publicity is good publicity. So at the end of the day, if you scream out that you're all for the creators, you're all for the creators, you're all for the creators, the independent creators, the underdogs and all this stuff, saying them dude's name one time wouldn't hurt you. These are the little bitty things that can actually change somebody's life. When I go back to saying, when you look in the mirror as a man and you're doing something to put food on your table because you may have bills, responsibility, kids and stuff like that. A lot of these celebrities lose sight. They lose real connections to the world of understanding that the little bittiest things that a superstar, celebrity or whatever you guys deem these individuals to be, that they can do to change someone's trajectory in life in a positive direction, they do not do it. And I don't want to keep rambling on about this. My thing is, because I have respect for Joe Budden and what he brings to the table, how they're spearheading through the podcast world in the hip hop lane. And I'm slowly but surely seeing how the podcast world, that we're in a very small sector on the pie chart in the black community with hip hop, and it's growing daily. But my thing is, if you preach that you're about the independent creators, the underdogs and all that stuff, that little bitty moments like that can help somebody. This whole show is about bridging the gap in between who people deem to be stars and celebrities, showing that it's really no difference between them, other than yes, that they make more money, they got more money in their banking accounts, the diamonds and chains, but at the same time, on a day-to-day basis, people got to put their pants on one leg at a time. And at one point in time within your life, you were in a situation where possibly someone, it could have been your favorite rapper, A&R, a Zek, somebody could have done the smallest thing to help change your life by a shout out, saying your name, or anything. You know what I mean? So double salute to the Brew Podcast, double salute to every podcast out here, independent. Definitely if you independent, or if you even with a distribution company or not, but definitely if you're independent, I understand the grind. I come from the grind. I'm grinding right now, you know. So with that being said, if you listening to this on Apple Podcasts, if you get the opportunity, it only takes a couple seconds, if you could please leave a 5-star rating and a good review, we appreciate that over here. We appreciate everything you guys do. And at the end of the day, I want to say this as well. I want you guys to utilize that button a little bit more. The button that I'm talking about is the one where you can leave voice messages to us. And we want to start being transparent and having you guys a part of this podcast with your ideas, your thoughts, if you agree, disagree, whatever it is. Even if you have questions about relationships, hip hop, if you want to weigh in and drop your top 50, it don't matter what it is. You got the opportunity to do that. And we transparent, because what makes the hip hop community is the community. It's us, the people. And I don't want the hip hop game to ever lose sight of that. So regardless, if I stay at this size as a podcast or ever blow up, I'm never going to lose sight of where I come from. And not saying that anybody else have, but I understand the struggle, the grind, and coming up. And that's why I do what I do behind the scenes with the people that I can try to help and share game, because it's enough room for everybody to eat. But yeah, I do want to jump into this quick section right quick. It's called the Wake Your Game Up segment, where we take just a couple minutes basically to throw some positivity out there in the air, because I feel like sometimes people need some game. They may be going through something that can touch their heart or help them get to the next step. I feel like we all are stars. Stars stand for steady, striving, achieving riches. If you doing that in your life, it don't matter if you deemed a celebrity or you going to work from a 9-to-5, you a star. Carry yourself with that type of integrity. Carry yourself with that type of self-esteem. You know what I mean? You got to have self-esteem, motivation, and patience out here to get to the next step in life. Now, on this segment of Wake Your Game Up, it's something short and sweet, straight to the point. You feel me? Now, this is the thing. I want to talk about habits. Habits. And getting rid of bad habits and replacing them for good habits. I know a lot of different people in my personal life, like people I have dapped up, hugged, spoke to face to face, eye to eye, you know, that we all are flawed, and I know that we have bad habits, but it's certain things that I've just noticed even with my life. So from around 2010, 2012, somewhere up in there, you know, I stopped drinking alcohol. So in between that time, I started being able to save a lot of money, make clear decisions. I wasn't getting in a lot of trouble. You know what I mean? So over time, when you, that one bad habit affected those three things. So in 6 months to 8 months to a year, 2 years, how many ever years since then went by, it was a lot of things I was able to accomplish because I removed that bad habit out of my life. Now, bad habits can be the food that we're eating. If we look at our body like a temple and we're putting a whole bunch of bad food in our body and it's weighing you down, bad habits can even be with the people that you're dealing with. You can have a habit of dealing with someone that you know that's not good for you. You know what I'm saying? So remove those bad habits and don't feel bad for removing those bad habits. I know some things you may have to wean yourself off of, but at the end of the day, just remember things will get better. Even if you remove a bad habit, I guarantee that indirectly the universe will reward you at the end of the day. And nothing comes overnight. We got to break that up out of our psyche of thinking that you know, we gonna get rich overnight or our plan gonna happen overnight. It's a very small percentage of times that things happen like that. You gotta put in the grind and the work, and sometimes you gotta remove those bad habits to be able to have a clear vision on what you want to do and what you need to do to get those things accomplished. You feel me? But I wanna continue. Let me go ahead and keep up with this show, man. It's the Doc Hicks Podcast, formerly known as the No Offense Podcast. But it's something I wanted to talk to you guys about. I don't know if people recognize this. It's not like something that was a super big headline or nothing like that. But to me, I think it's a lot behind this. A lot of different angles that go on with this particular situation. Now, I don't know if people was up on the comedian named Godfrey. Super funny dude. Salute to him. He do the impersonations. Got a crazy personality. All type of stuff, you know. I'm not going to sit up here and lie like I've been following him from the very beginning of his career. But I was aware of him, and when I would see him, you know, I would tip my hat to him as a comedian. I'm not going to say I would put him in my top 50 or top 10 or nothing like that, but he's good at what he do. Then I started seeing him on Vlad TV. Now, I'm not looking at it like, oh, he's a rapper, so I'm not looking at him going there from a particular angle of a lot of rappers that go up there. And we know the type of questioning, the line of questioning that Vlad TV does. So my thing is, artists, they managers, PRs, all that stuff, have to know if you have any relationship with your artist, that you have control over what your artist say. I can't just sit up and just blame Vlad TV, because at the end of the day, he still scores some of the biggest interviews and he pulls out the information that people want to know. At the end of the day, as a journalist, that is your job. Now, you have different type of journalists, but he has made clear what type of journalist that he is. So you got to know when you go on his platform, the type of questions he's going to ask you. And you have to have it set up in your mind of either how detailed you're going to go and how not detailed you're going to go. And yeah, it's been times where artists tried to spin a question, and I've seen where Vlad would turn around and ask him that same question a totally different way. You know, so it's like, okay, you still pressing the issue. But like I say, the artist got to be smart enough and be on their toes. You can't go up there all drunk as hell, leaned out off pills and all this shit. You need to be on your toes. You need to approach going on Vlad TV the same way you would want to approach a fucking interrogation. Because at the end of the day, it's the biggest, one of the biggest hip hop platforms. But when you going up there 9 times out of 10, you're not talking about no music. And if you are smart, you damn near need to get the name of your album, mixtape, and all that shit that's coming out printed on the front of your shirt. And you know, but that's why I can't just bash Vlad, because he built his platform to where it's at, and I salute any man that do that. Yes, a few things I could disagree with, but I can't bash him for it. All I can say is I will do the opposite of that in my type of journalism or the interviews I do. I'm not here to be no hater, but I do got to put the responsibility on the artist. But Godfrey, on the other hand, you know, they talk about everything that's going on in the world, from entertainment news, you know, from entertainment news to racism, to the LGBT community, to the comedy world. It could be anything. A former guest could have came on the show and he had asked him questions if he seen it about it. And I feel like in these type of situations, in these interviews, you get to see that person that's being interviewed, real inner being. And when I say like inner being, they thought process towards different subjects. Other than that, you really wouldn't know that. You would just know their comedy and art. And a lot of times, sometimes people comedy and art don't match the type of person that they are. They may have just seen something on the news or something in life inspires them to come up with a joke, but it don't necessarily mean that they feel that way inside. So with him being up there, they talk about a lot of different race related issues. And I'm wondering, because Godfrey just recently lost his job up there at Sirius XM, if it was a play off of that, not blaming Vlad, but just a play off of it from the perspective of these execs, these label heads, these people, company owners and all this stuff are very aware of Vlad TV, and they probably keep up with Vlad TV. And if you are a celebrity, you a star, or you a person on the come up, you know, people may, I don't know what they do behind the scenes to just 100%, but you know, people do their references. They do a reference check on you. They will search their Googles and your name will come up, and they may go through and watch some of your interviews. And just say, for instance, if you have a boss or someone that's running the company where you're at, and that person is racist or white or whatever the case. And maybe, what if they're white and they're not racist? But you just went up on Vlad TV and you said a lot of things, maybe from a comedic standpoint, or it could have been really how you feel, and it rubbed that person that wrong way. Because Godfrey ended up getting fired from Sirius XM over a very small situation where he's supposed to end up like taking a picture, or was about to take a picture with someone, and he says this flamboyant gay dude walked up blocking the situation. He says super flamboyant gay dude walked up blocking the situation and actually made the situation worse than what it really was. So he had some words with him. It wasn't no assault, no fight. You know, I don't even see that in Godfrey's character where it would get, even get to that point. But, you know, he probably stood his ground in that situation. And he basically said shortly it got back to his office. I think he was in a meeting or something like that. And they came in, pulled him to the side, and basically fired him over that. Now, I'm watching him just recently on the 5150 show. Double shout out to Corey Holcomb. Dude is a pioneer. And I don't want to get off subject, but I'll get back to Corey. But he be on the 5150 show. And if anybody hip to the 5150 show, they know how it is. That's a straight, uncut, anti-PC platform. And I respect that. That's what the Doc Hicks TV YouTube is about. That's what the Doc Hicks podcast is about. It's about kicking unadulterated, unfiltered, uncensored truth, period. Like, just if it's your truth and that's how you feel about it, we gonna say it, we gonna talk about it. It's not meant to be put into the world to be malicious or anything like that. We do come from a different era where people have a little bit thicker skin, don't get offended about everything. And my thing is, I know we have no control over the viewer or the listener, how they may feel, but hopefully we could toughen a few people up to not be so sensitive about everything. But that's how the 5150 show is. They talk hella shit. It's hella shit. And that's Corey, even as a comedian. I see even when he do interviews, people be kind of not wanting to stand too close to him or agree with the things that they say because they got people over them that they don't want to offend. And people do group you together in this game. It don't even have to be the entertainment game, media game, or anything like that. Just naturally in life, people group you together. You could be working at McDonald's. You could be working at Ruby Tuesdays. You could be working at NBC. And if you hanging with someone and that person reputation perceives themselves in a negative manner, and you hanging and you cool with them, people may look at you a certain way or start blocking your blessings or doing things. And I personally went through a situation like that, but I'll hold that for a whole nother time. So I'm just wondering, because like I say, the first person that I was introduced as to with Godfrey, I think a little bit of the 5150 show kind of rubbed off on him and made him feel a lot more comfortable speaking on things that possibly was true to him. So I can't blame him for that. But I'm just noticing like the difference between the 90s and even the 80s and the 90s and now. Back in the day, if you had a Godfrey in the 80s and 90s and he's deemed a celebrity, you just basically seen they work. And yes, like I said, you know, some of their personal feelings may go into their work or their art, but you didn't rarely see them. It was a mystique to people. People kept their politics, their religion, and all those type of talks to themselves. Nowadays, all that's on Front Street. All of it's on Front Street. And it helps some people, it hurts some people. And I'm just wondering, with the combination of some of the things that he have said revolving around race, going on Vlad TV talking about them things, has a direct correlation to how or why he got fired for something so damn small. Because what they will do once they look at you and see, oh, this is how you view life, this is how you look at things, oh, we're gonna make sure we're gonna hold you down, they may feel some type of way, one, about, okay, we don't want to let you in the door because we don't want your message to get out to the masses to influence people, or they may just look at you as a racist or whatever they can. We don't know. Like, I can't speak for other people to say what they think when they hear people speak about their religious and their race views in America or the world, you know. But people have to keep that shit in mind, you know, because Godfrey is super talented and I would want to see him on more sitcoms, TV shows, and things of that nature. I'm here to big people up. Now, if a motherfucker do some stupid shit, yeah, I'm here to keep my opinion true to me. And my thing is, at the same time, because we all from the outside looking in watch these people moves, a lot of these moves that people make, whether bad or good, it's a learning experience that could be learned from. And some of OG and people used to tell me always growing up, a wise man learns from other people's mistakes, period. So sometimes we can watch the moves that other people are making and mold your path to make sure you don't get them doors shut and things off of you. Now, that's not saying that don't be true to yourself or don't be yourself, but it's a time and place for everything. You're not going to go to the doctor's office if you a football player with your football pads on. You're not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Or vice versa. You're not going to go to football practice with what you will wear at the doctor's office. It's a time and place for everything. And keep in mind, real G's move in silence. So if you a gangster, not even a gangster like a drug dealer, killer, but if you militant about something that you believe in, sometimes your mission can get a lot further if you galvanize your the people that you with in silence and get what you need to get accomplished before making a big, you know, roar about it, and then allow groups or organizations that may have more funding to come shut your shit down, plant some dope on you, or do any type of crazy thing to mess you up. And the reason why I say plant some dope on you, because just the other day, a football star from GSU, he gets pulled over. I think he got like a 2000, you know, not too much of a super older vehicle. You know, it looks pretty new to me, a dope car. You know, I think it's some type of Dodge or something like that. He gets pulled over by the police, and he's supposed to have bird poop. Now, that's how they wrote in the headlines, bird poop, but basically bird shit on the trunk of his car. He gets pulled over. He gets arrested. They say that this bird shit is actual cocaine.
Papa came home from another day of high, working handed me his key, told me go look in the car. So I went out there to look for what he asked me to get. I was checking all the seats, but the only thing I saw was a bag of cocaine. Papa was too solid, he ain't never tell a lie. I went in to tell him about it, he said, oh, that must be God. He worked with me at the job, I said, oh, and walked away. He said, oh, before you go, make sure you don't tell your mom about the cocaine. Me and a little homie, we was walking to the store. It was right there on the corner. Then we seen the guy that's homeless. He was wrapped up in the blanket. He was looking really cold. Then he asked us for some change. Then he asked us if we know who had the cocaine. Cocaine.
Like for, like, come on, man. Bird shit is cocaine stuck on the back of the trunk. One, we know cocaine is fucking powder, and even if it was crack, it's rocked up. It's not going. He had to be driving 1 mile, less than 1 miles per hour for it to even stay up there. Now, if it was wet or whatever case may be, but that's a whole nother story. But the problem with that story to me is that the police officers claim that they tested it and it came back positive as cocaine. So that's a fucking straight up lie. What type of repercussions is this officer going to get for blatantly lying? Because if he would do something like that in that small of a situation, and not to say homie situation is small, because I know in that moment getting arrested, you a football player, a star quarterback, your whole life can go down the drain. What if that was cocaine and you didn't even know, and they came to the front, scraped that shit up and put it in the bag, and you seen them back there scraping something off your car, and they come and say, hey, this cocaine, your heart going to drop to your stomach. Like, your heart gonna drop to your stomach. You may have thought someone planted some shit on you. So luckily, like, the charges did get dropped in that situation, but it has to be some consequences to that officer. We already know, and a lot of people don't believe it because it don't happen to them or happen to them in their world, but enough people are waking up nowadays to see that the shit a lot of officers are doing, they're bending the rules, they're doing a lot of shit that just straight up crooked. So I gotta give a double salute to that football player for standing tall in that situation. Now, say for instance, like that movie When They See Us, when they trick those young men at that time to plea out to some shit or admit to some things that they didn't even do. What if they would have said, hey man, you can walk out of here tonight, we have sealed this, you whatever, but just go ahead and admit to us that this is cocaine. What if he would have did that? They would have got that in the statement. That statement would forever be there. And it take years upon years. And I'm thinking it was in a small town where it may not get expunged. It would tear up your football career, all type of shit. So people, one, as a hip hop nation, one, or people in general, one, we got to get smarter about our laws, smarter about our local laws, one. Because sometimes we can read something and it may be talking about another state. It's good to pick up a book or use your two thumbs and go online. And whatever you into, I'm not promoting all illegal shit, but whatever you into in life, study the laws about it and make sure you got some money tucked to the side. Even if you live in 100% right, a twist can come and change your whole life. You need to have some money for some proper representation if you don't have the resources. And that's why networking is so important. And you see what I was talking about at the beginning of the video, of just the importance of networking, of how other people can help you out in life. It can come back, it could put you on in life, or it could save your life from jail or anything. You know, all this stuff is wrapped around each other. And jail, some serious shit. It's a lot of people. Rapper from the city named Peasy just had to turn himself in. Smoke Camp Chino just got sentenced to hella time. You know what I mean? Shout out to Smoke Camp. You know, he a solid dude. I fucks with dude heavy. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's some things going on in my personal life with some people that I know. And this song right here just made me really think about it for some odd reason. You know, this is an old school classic by T.I., so I'm gonna go ahead and jump into that and then jump back into this commentary.
Still ain't forgave myself. Damn. It's a lot of fucked up shit to go down, man. You don't even know the half. Man, I've been in and out of trouble since I adolescent. Sport bright and dead fresh with no daddy present. I got two uncles, Quentin Man, and they keep me straight. 7 to 8, I'm counting money while they moving weight. My daddy sent me clothes and always tell me come and see them. I say, alright, but still I'm feeling like my mama need them. They sending letters home from school, nobody read mine. And plus my uncle's doing 10 years fed time. Then I started rebelling, began crack selling. The littlest thing on the corner with a Mac 11. After school, I hear my mama holler home. Work. I say, alright, mom, but look, I got my own work. You know? Starting acting with fiends at the age of 13. Now my mama finding rocks in my socks, Glocks in my toy box. Dang, like, man. Damn, why trouble come to me like this? But on the real, ain't even have to be like this. Okay. But mistakes made on this road to wealth, still ain't forgave myself. Hey, what I am today, I made myself. But I still ain't forgave myself. But running to the grave, getting closer to death. I still ain't forgave myself. For anyone who ever wondered how I felt, I still ain't forgave myself. At 14, man, thought I knew everything. I'm slinging slabs, trapping hard, moving heavy cane. I bought an 85 Cutlass on some Dana Dane. Now I'm the shit, huh? The motor blew in 30 days. Hard headed, man, I ain't listen to anything. I'm getting money, so I'm writing, I got plenty game. Besides, why I need school? I'ma be rapping, mama. If that don't work, I guess I'ma be trapping, mama. But hey, I promise I'ma make it, cause I'm damn good. I'ma get us out this hood and off these canned goods. School just a white man game and it's ran good. At 16, here's my introduction to manhood. Blue lights behind me, damn, what I'm gonna do? Cause I got 2 pounds of weed in the car and I'm created too. I guess everything'll be alright if I just keep it cool. How you doing, officer? What you mean why I ain't in school? Can you search the car? Yeah, but I'd rather that you didn't. Besides, it's just a waste of your time because ain't nothing in it. I guess that's when I seen that I ain't no shit. When stuck in a place where freedom I ain't gon' get. Dang. Mistakes made on this road to wealth, I still ain't forgave myself. Hey, what I am today, I made myself. But I still ain't forgave myself. Guess these the chances you can take when dealt the cards I was dealt. But I still ain't forgave myself. For anybody who ever done wondered how I felt, I still ain't forgave myself. Out of all the niggas I was with when I was doing wrong, 3 in the bed, 1 doing life and 2 dead and gone. Knew it was more to life than selling, blowing, chopper busting. But what's the good knowing better if I ain't tell them nothing? I know I could've told Kep not to kill, shout it. Put down the gun, get in the car, let him live, shout it. You probably get locked up and I'll probably have a deal, shout it. Nah, I ain't scared, I'm just telling you like a deal, shout it. Could've told him Dan Quentin Kern, man, your cover's blown. Hey, leave that country town alone, y'all need to come back home. Bankhead and J. I just feel like if I was with them, they never would've got killed at night if I was with them. Seemed like I could've done more, said more. Why all my partners gotta be dead in the feds for? All the time, I just wish that y'all could ball with me. Sometimes at night I close my eyes and dream that y'all with me. Damn. And even though they say I can't blame myself, I still ain't forgave myself. For all the mistakes that we made on this road to wealth, I still ain't forgave myself. What I am today, I made myself, but I still ain't forgave myself. For anybody, whoever the one how I felt, I still ain't forgave myself. Yeah, they say I can't blame myself, but I I still ain't forgave myself. For the mistakes made on this road to wealth, I still ain't forgave myself. Guess these are chances that you take when dealt the cards I was dealt, but I still ain't forgave myself. For anybody, whoever wondered how I felt, I still ain't forgave myself. Ain't forgave myself. Yo. For anybody, whoever wondered how I felt, anybody who ever wondered what's wrong with me, here it is. 3/16 of What's in the Heart of T.I.P. This song is dedicated to everybody who ain't here with me. Cap, damn, fucked up, shawty. But when you get out, if I live to see it, you gon' be on again, you know what I'm saying? And we ain't gotta worry about going to jail, shawty. We legit now, you know what I'm saying? Kern, Quint, N-Day, y'all gon' get out, man. And when you do, I'll be here, shawty. Always. Bankhead, J. Rue, I'm sorry, man. Some shit I can't change. But when I get up there, we gon' ball again. Open the gate, shawty. Let me in. We gon' ball. J. Rue, man. I know money ain't worth a friend, shawty. I fucked up bad, man. And I still ain't forgave myself. My mama, sorry I ain't graduated. But hell, we rich now, it don't matter. My uncles, shit, it don't matter neither. Y'all back. But hell, my little boy, you better not do the same shit I did. I'ma whoop your motherfucking ass.
If you not up on that song, you been living up under a rock. But yeah, that's an old school classic. And it's crazy to even name it or say it as an old school classic. But that's a timeless song right there. But, you know, you don't want to end up being in a position. I understand certain people, you know, go through certain stuff in life, but you got to be able to have all your ducks in a row so you don't end up looking back at shit going on in your life as a regret and feeling like, damn, you know, like you can't forgive yourself for certain things. Because I'm pretty sure, just like some shit R. Kelly fucking people trying to do right now, they trying to seal his medical records. They sent over to the NYC like judicial system trying to seal his medical records. I want to know what the fuck is inside of his medical records that you feel that could hurt his case even more. You got 9,000 women out here saying that he had them in a fucking boot camp, a whole boot camp, not feeding them. They couldn't move, couldn't do shit. Working them like sex slaves, all this. You got two girls in the Trump Tower living better than 40% of the people in America. And you could tell that they fucking programmed like robots. What inside of his medical records can hurt him if it gets released? And the only thing that I really could think about is you have had a couple people say that he was passing on a disease. So my thing is, if his medical records prove that he may have herpes or this disease, it may make some of these women's story a little bit more credible. Or if they say he got herpes, you may start having random women with herpes that never touched him or been around him pop up and just say, oh yeah, I've been with him too. Because I don't think you can trace herpes. That's something, you know what I'm saying? That'd be, with technology nowadays, you could trace all type of shit. But I don't know if you could trace herpes. Like, yeah, this is the R. Kelly herpes right here. I don't know if you could tell the difference between the R. Kelly herpes or John herpes or Ronisha or Brittany or whoever herpes. I don't know if you can do that or not. But whatever's inside his medical records they trying to seal, it must be that damn nail in the coffin. And I'm the type of person, because this may be the first time you hearing this from me on this channel. Now, if you go back a couple episodes, I interviewed Carrie Kelly. That's R. Kelly's blood brother. Straight up, no cap. But hold on, let me go ahead and say this. You need to go back through my episodes, period. Because if you new and it's your first time checking out this channel, it's a lot of interviews and stuff and content on this page, and we just getting going being at 27 episodes, but it's a lot of deep content on here that you wouldn't believe. I don't want you to get it misconstrued that because there are some commentary videos on here, but we got some deep interviews. I got interviews with an insider from BMF that been down with Big Meech and Southwest T since 1985. His name is Dex Hussey. He was one of the first original BMF members that's been down the longest. Of course, like I just said, R. Kelly brother, you know, from Spider Loc to X-Rated that did 26 years in prison. I got an interview with him. Smoke Campino, that's a part of Glow Gang. Dusty McFly, a lot of individuals. There's a lot of content on here and there's a lot of content to come. So make sure you subscribe. Like, for real, we putting in work. We haven't had that major look yet, but you know, I'm not worried about that. My thing is, if I could build a solid foundation with some real individuals that want to hear some real content, we gonna be good. And I continue to do what I do for y'all with my connections. And I don't want to forget the legend Tila from up out of Memphis just came on the platform as well. Cuzzo Fly, a lot of people. So I'm talking about, I got interviews with Young Mouth, all that. So I'm not saying none of this stuff in a cocky way. All I'm saying is there is a little bit of a difference between some podcasters that's doing hip hop, that's where you may not recognize their name, but that's why the description says the most respected, because the rap game respect me. They know I'm not on no goofy shit. They know I'm really from the culture. I don't disrespect the culture. You know, I don't disrespect the game, but I do have my opinions about stuff because we need to learn from the game. Especially if the game getting twisted. Like, I feel like Chance the Rapper situation is a learning experience. Dude is too big of an artist. I'm not super on Chance the Rapper. I know he's from Chicago. I have heard songs from him that I didn't even know that was him on a feature or whatever. So I do appreciate what Chance the Rapper brings to the table. I'm not going to say, oh, like when his album just dropped, I was rushing, or had, if it came out at 12 o'clock at night, I stayed up to listen to it. I'm not going to say that. When I hear it, I hear it. But I don't, it's two parts about the Chance the Rapper shit that I don't like. So I got to hold both sides of the coin accountable. And I'll start off with Chance. You can't allow social media to let you throw out that suicide word too easily into the atmosphere. Because one, the problems that you're going through more than likely is rich nigga problems. And you got people in this world that's going through problems that's 100,000 times worse than you. And if they feel like that you are willing to kill yourself over some small minute shit when they're going through some real shit, you're making it even more easy for them to justify killing themselves. So you can't be so quick to throw that out there. Now, on the other side of the coin, which you can't control these masses, because you got a lot of miserable, lonely, broke individuals in this world that do not want to see you happy. And we got to understand that when you happy, majority of other people that's don't want to see you happy. People don't want to see you happy, especially if they're not happy. It's, to me, I damn near starting to feel like it's more haters than real. We know it's more fake people in this world than real people in this world. And I damn near put haters up under the fake category. And then haters, they damn near going to raise indirectly to have hater kids. So them motherfuckers is multiplying fast. Haters is multiplying fast. Because say when you got a hater as a mother or a hater as a father, what do kids do? Their parents are the first people that they learn everything from. So if their parents are haters, their kids are learning those actions. They're learning those behaviors. They're learning the things that they're seeing their parents doing. So when they get older and do the same shit, honestly, they really don't even know no better. They really don't even know no better, because it's just embedded in their DNA. And you may run across a person that's a hater and you looking them dead in the eye. You like, this motherfucker can't be serious. This nigga is a hater, and they may not really know. And I don't give no excuses to haters, but looking at it from that angle, it's some motherfuckers out here that genetically have DNA of a hater inside them because their parents are haters. And speaking of haters, you know I gotta go ahead and play the anthem for haters. For real, for real.
Check it out, dog. This game is a motherfucking trip, man. Word on the streets. Everybody always try to run up on me, hollering my word in the streets. This nigga said this, man. I don't give a fuck about what that nigga said, man. That's what's wrong with you niggas. You niggas are just like bitches. Whole ass niggas. Talk too motherfucking much.
Speak.
Stay to your own. Get your own. You know what I'm saying? Be independent, nigga.
Bitch.
Bitch niggas. Bitch niggas. Bitch ass niggas.
Bitch niggas.
Yeah, I'm talking about you.
Bitch niggas.
You too. Dog. I meet more bitch niggas than hoes. Look here, and I really don't know, but that's just how I go. Dog. So many niggas like to keep up shit, and just like a bitch, niggas be talking shit. Smiling in my face and then they blast me in the back. Niggas stay strapped from way back, cause payback make niggas wanna pop that shit. If you ain't ready for the game, niggas stop that shit. We rock that shit. My nigga Dre, drop that shit. No more talking, I'm walking and I'm popping the clip. Glock on the hip, set tripping, dipping and shit. If you act like a bitch, nigga, you get smacked like a bitch. Bitch niggas,
bitch niggas. These niggas don't know what the fuck is going on. Yo, dog, check it, kick back. Let me holler at these niggas for a minute.
straight off the streets of chaos and no pity. The aggravated, making these punk motherfuckers hate it. Compton is the city I'm from. Can't never leave the crib without a murder weapon. I can't live my life on broke no more. And most of these fools ain't shit but cutthroats. They smile in the nigga face. And for what? They got the game fucked up and want my thing fucked up. I done learned a lot, seen a whole lot. The top notch nigga, I'm fiending for that spot. Now peep game on what Six Deuce told me.
These niggas after your paper, Dr. D.R.E.
What?
And these punk ass hoes is looking for dough. You gotta watch your homeboys, cause a nigga never know. Oh, they'll be around, but when your paper get low, just like Master P said, there they go, bitch niggas.
But Chance the Rapper, yeah, you can't love your wife. There's nothing wrong with loving your wife. And if you choose to every song talk about your wife, if that's what you choose to do, I'm not gonna say that I would recommend that. And I'm not even saying that from a hater or a bad perspective. My thing is just touching to more topics, and you could put a whole song from every word, every syllable, every cadence, all that shit, it'd be about your wife. But never shy away from showing love to the people that love, show love to you. And speaking of showing love to those that show love to me, I gotta go ahead and give a big shout out to a few individuals that recently left a 5-star rating. Like I told people, if you leave a 5-star rating and a good review, I got you with putting a shout out to you. So I gotta give a shout out to a gentleman or a woman named B Hastings 11, someone by the name of APB Finance, and also got someone named Lovely12775, someone else by the name of Alonzo M. I already shouted out K Fly, G the Fool, much love to you, homie. Waterproof Bush, C to the Fizzo, and also Henry Hilarious. Because what you don't want to do is allow these miserable ass trolls out here to fuck up your relationship, and you end up start treating your lady and the person that you love a certain type of way because of outside perspectives and opinions of people that don't give a fuck. People that's either that don't give a fuck about you, don't give a fuck about themselves or anything, or they're just saying shit to be funny or get a reaction or get retweets. Because this world automatically is a magnet to negative shit over positive. I done put up videos about Swiss Beats when he graduated from Harvard. That video on YouTube did not get more than 2,000 views. But let me put up something about there's a person snitching and I got their paperwork. That video would easily have 300,000-500,000 views. That's just how it is. It's just how it is, period. You know, and as a platform, you have no control over that. Because I hear people all the time say, try to blame every fucking thing on media. And we got to stop that shit too. Because at the end of the day, everybody is an adult. You don't have to tune in to media. You don't have to watch media. You don't have to be subscribed or following the Shade Room or any of these places that you deem to be negative. And you wouldn't even know that shit is going on. And just like it's a Shade Room out here, there are pages on Instagram that's fully about like HBCU. And you know, positive black things, positive worldly things, period. But if you're constantly getting attracted to those negative things, indirectly your energy and aura is pulling you towards those negative things, because you're not using the half of the brain that you have to try to even search for the positive things. So that should be just an excuse. Everybody love to point the finger at everybody. It's easier to point the finger at other people than putting the mirror up to self saying, hey, these are my flaws, or this is what I'm doing wrong, or whatever the case may be. And I know it because, like I said, that big point in time in my life where I had to stop drinking alcohol opened up my eyes to a lot of shit. And it helped me see my own self for what it was. I'm talking about just like T-Pain. Now, this is the second time I heard T-Pain bring this up. And I feel like he must get this a lot. It must be people in this comment section, and it must get to him. You know, it must really get to him. But I've heard T-Pain possibly in the last 2 years talk about the Illuminati, but from the perspective of why is it that every time a black person becomes rich or famous, that automatically that's just an excuse that people try to say this is why they achieved it. Now, if a person gives an excuse to a person that they don't know, say, for instance, you working your ass off at your job and you get a raise, but it's a person on the other side of that building you ain't never met, never spoke to, never locked eyes with, never dapped each other. They just know of your promotion, and that person say, oh, he must have sold his soul, or he must have got fucked in the ass. What does that sound like to you? What does that sound like to you? Now, I know there is proof. There really is an Illuminati. There really are the 1% of the world. I understand all that. I'm not going to deny any of those things to say. But my thing is, why is that the first thing that we always slap on our own people? And if you really dig back to see who really started bringing that shit to the table, it was like two or three channels ran by some white males that created those videos and created those channels and that propaganda, and it was attaching it to a ton of different rappers. Then after a while, I seen those damn YouTube videos and channels down there disappear, because once they implanted that inside of the hip hop community brain of the community and the viewers, and they got their job done, they fell back. And now the people that's constantly passing it on is us. And that just show how weak-minded people can be as a community. But this is a music podcast, so you know what I gotta do, right? You know I gotta give a triple shout out to them Griselda boys. I'm talking about each and every one of them, everybody involved with the BSF movement, the Griselda Records, Shady them signing a label management deal with Rock Nation. Double salute to them boys, because them boys, ever since the beginning, since I seen them came on the scene, I could see the aura that them dudes is some real dudes coming from a real place, rapping some real shit. Now, I'm not correlating selling drugs and murder and all that type of stuff to being real, but I'm saying as far as they keeping it true and real to themselves, because you got a lot of people out here that's watching other people. Oh, that's what they wear. That's what they do with their hair. Oh, okay, he got a tattoo on his face, so I'm gonna put that on. And then they walk out the house and act like they real, because they feel like, as long as I look like it, walk like it, talk like it, smell like it, or whatever the case may be, being gangster and being real is a mentality, how you carry yourself, the principles that you move off of based on the lane that you are in. But them boys been keeping it dope, and I'm glad to see the recognition that they've been getting. So I'm about to jump into, you know, that 5 out of 50 that Benny got out. Double salute to that boy, and I'm gonna come back and wrap this thing up.
Dreams of sleepers, nigga. Tell the truth, that's the perfect business. Cause in the drought, I was paying double for some work that wasn't even worth the ticket. Place scrapers with the work to get it. Check my bank statements, probably hurt your feelings. How? I'm in every verse admitting how I work a kitchen like it's church's chicken. What you know about taking bags cross state on a half a tank of gas? The first around ain't no workaround. You gotta hit it twice just to make it last. Take a quarter, you make a quarter. Put that together, that'll make a half. With a coke compressor, it's... Matter of fact, ain't tellin' nigga shit. The first around ain't no workaround. You gotta hit it twice just to make it last. Take a quarter, you make a quarter. Put that together, that'll make a half. With a coke compressor, it's... Matter of fact, ain't tellin' nigga shit. Who are these niggas? I think they all overrated. I think they all are outdated. I'm independent, but they think that I'm sounda shady. Cause my jewelry look like I made it. Just got a house, I need a brand new Mercedes. We kicking ass like the baby. I'm on a grind, I link with the plugs that I met. One more time if these labels don't pay me.
I remember when I first told my father who I was dealing with. I'm like, I told him I was dealing with Benny. He was like, Benny from Montana? Like, be careful, man. It's like the block crazy. That's the H block.
But yeah, man, that's my shit. Double salute to Benny the Butcher. Keep doing your thing. I appreciate, one of the greatest things I appreciate about them is for the sheer fact that they never allowed the temptation of the mainstream music generation, the machine, or anything else to sway them from their sound and how they want to do it. They sticking to their roots, they sticking to sharpening their craft, having bars, the type of beats that they select. And I appreciate that, because a lot of people would have either given up on their grind by now, or they would have went ahead and said, fuck it, man, give me one of them auto-tune fucking songs, give me that fucking straw, put it in my mouth, do some auto-tune singing, and let me pop and twerk all over this fucking record and put on a dress so I could make some money. A lot of niggas would have did that by now, or they just would have gave up, you know what I mean? So I gotta respect them for holding their craft down, taking it serious, and being true to themselves. Because honestly, to me, this is the only reason why the rap game is so fucked up right now. And it's not to blame a generation. I understand people are looking for to make some money and get up out of their circumstance. I understand that. I'm not blaming a generation when I make this statement about the reason why music is fucked up now. The reason why shit is fucked up now is because no one wants to be original. Okay, you got 1,000 different rappers coming out every day. If 1,000 different rappers was coming out every day and at least people was trying to be original, then I could deal with it. But when you got drill, the drill movement get popping, you got 100 motherfuckers talking about the same thing, the same way, the same bar setups, everything same, damn near same sound and beats, I'm just gonna find the realest nigga that can do it the best, and I'm gonna listen to him. I'm not about to listen to all the rest of them. Same thing with the trap music. Same thing if it's game bang music. It don't matter if it's hustling music. I'm gonna find the best one, the one that's the most pure, and the one that's consistent and rock with that person. So overall, you know, if it was a 5-star system, 10-star system, I gotta give the Griselda Boys 5 stars or 10 stars for sticking to their craft and being original. But double salute to everybody that's tuning in to the Doc Hicks Podcast. Much respect. Once again, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star rating and a good review. And I'm gonna make sure to end every podcast with a new slap, something that I'm rocking to or fucking with. You know what I mean? So everybody be safe out there. Keep your antennas up. Stay out the way. Get your money. Stay thriving, achieving your riches, and at the end of the day, we all stars. Peace.
Clip in my nine, if it's your fist, if it's your chalk, it fall in the nighttime, gotta get mine. Ain't taking the shorts or the loss inside for the phone. Call up my nigga, send at home, polish it up, back 10 chrome. Got a dick we can hit, so bring your shit, cause once again, it's home. To the zone with a flip of bird, my wig to the curb, so I'm swerving, roll out. To pick up the 666 thug and pop out the murder for robbing the dope house. Smoke up by the May bomb so high, not coming to slay with 4 grenades and a gauge. I'ma play with till I'm up all in the grave and lay. Filling in mid dry late, which spot of the place and quick. We rolled up, bulldozed to the living room, hopped out of the car and started to blow up. Up, fucking a kaboom, it blew all them bodies all over the room. Them doom, and gotta move fast, why the purple's coming? Snatch up me, yummy, so nigga don't think it's funny. I'm coming up quick and then not quite, cause flesh be loving is money.
I'm giving up love to the hustlers, all them sight clip dusters, making that money, stand on your feet. And you better believe, gotta have that cheese for the green leaves, never catch me sleep. Standing on the grind, getting mine, stand down from a crime, and I hit up the 99. Giving up that yo, making me say yo, 20s, nickels, and dimes. Hit up a stick up a lick up that 211. Gotta get what's mine, then bailing. Me kicking up dust, I'm trailing, failing 187. That's how it is, and I got to have it in the night quad. Mission to check a meal and still be real, thugging on the clock, clock creeping on the come up. Won't sleep till I'm done up, gotta blaze me blunt up. Hunt up another plot and scheme, gotta make some great results. Nut up, what up? Gotta get that business on, even though the Buddha run has done me feeling lovely, but I'm just in it for the love of the money.
Gotta make that money, man.
That money, man, it's still the same.
Making sure the motherfuckers don't see me. Now my fat sack of rocks, hell yeah, I stuffed them. Police on my drawers, I had to pause. And yeah, it's still motherfucker. Now my game is tight, tight as fuck. It's my game, easy motherfucking E or Eric Wright, it's all the same. Now niggas might trip on how I stacks my grip. I got to have it, bitch, for the love of this shit. Motherfucker.
Time, follow me down the 99, and you will find all of me kind. Check out the rips, the nails drop down, run them up out of me hood ribs. Strike when I'm making me grip, when I'm in click, rolling with bro flips. The thug I beat me, put them in mud, buck them in pump blood. Got nothing to lose, bitch. You better respect rip, or you best just check this slug. It's going down, slowly pumping 3 rounds, gonna win him a gang bang. Gotta make that money, man. It's still the same, steady running things well. Then follow me now. I take you up into a barrel of a gun. See, for the W, you're done for the butt. I run
it up on my thing. I'm in this thug game. So people's been creeping, been crawling off on a mission. The back in the days when niggas was belling with sodas and wanted to get paid. But it took my cell, little nigga rich. Step up on a mission for money.
stolen. You give up the cash, so that was your wins. Cause me and my nigga was hungry. Every dick is stolen. You might just guess one to the temple and I'm bone raw dogging. Some niggas just make this shit simple and run to catch one nigga. Me fill him with bullets and dump him in rivers. Remember, me killer now. My money me dig ya. 6 feet in the ditch and get with you. Cause bitch, you was slipping. I'll get you and rip ya, then fuck ya now. Steady rubbing the steel, they making a killin'. Nigga drug dealing, needing a million. Nestling drugs with the thugs be chillin'. For the money these niggas be selling. Off in the cut where you find a nigga thuggin'. Off in the brakes and skulls. And when I stick you and lick you up, in my right, get on my foot, the love and more. Yeah, bone in the motherfucking house for the 9 quarts, nigga. Yeah, rollin' with ruthless in this bitch. My nigga lazy bone, busy bone, wishbone, and fleshy bone. And I'm that nigga crazy bone in the motherfucking hell.